Good morning, gentlemen, and Ishru Chag Sameach, and almost a good Shabbos. I wanted to start by thanking very much Rabbi Rapson for asking me to appear here again and to speak to you. It's a great cover for me to speak on this. It's a wonderful institution. It should go Mitzvah Hashem Michael Al Koil. I wanted to talk to you a little bit today, just for the 30 minutes that we've got, about the issue of Dama Kaptur. We're asking the Perek again for Perek Aleph Mitzvah Hashem tomorrow, and we'll see there's a mitzvah of Dama Kaptur in the Perek. The question is, how does that apply? Where does that, what are the cases, and what are the parameters around which a person has to basically build an understanding of how to perform this mitzvah d'oraisa? Because it is a mitzvah d'oraisa. And what I hope to show you from some of the material we'll see today is that just like one has a structured approach to Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Bishul, Hilchos Yontif, whatever it is, one has to have a structured approach to these mitzvahs bein adam l'chavero, such as Dama Kaptur as well. The cases are obvious, people are familiar with them. What do you do if you see a frum guy eating a cheeseburger in McDonald's? What do you require to think? Rav Shimon Schwab had this experience. He was walking down the subway in America and he saw one of his frum balabatim from Washington Heights standing at a Traeger hot dog stand, tucking into a completely Traeger hot dog. What are you meant to think? How are you meant to start making up a story? How does that work? And most people will tell you that, well, you're meant to think, you know, maybe he has a this, maybe he has that, he thought it was kosher, he thought it was glass, he was a mistake, he has an ulcer, who knows what he has. So we'll see if that's right or not. Truth is, the cases are never quite that straightforward. Let me give you another case. You're driving around a part of London, and you see a young lady from home in Golders Green. And you're in an area of London that's a bit rough, and you see her walking out of a shop, an area, a house where you know that they sell drugs. And you see her walking out looking very furtive and putting something under her coat and looking around seeing if there's anybody there and walking out. What are you meant to think? You're meant to think that it's just a mistake, that she's really going there to visit people, she's in the drug rehabilitation unit, she's helping the local council. What are you meant to think? And in case you're all thinking to yourselves, oh, well, of course, Chassid Shalom, you shouldn't think bad of the girl, let me just change the case for a second. She's babysitting for you tonight. She's babysitting. You changed your mind? You still think the same thing? There's no questions, there's no shilas, you're going to have her as a babysitter, no shilas. How are you meant to assess a case like that? And we'll see soon that the Rambam gives a lot of guidance as to how to get through these kind of shilas, and in Mitzvah Hashem we'll be able to work out how to do it. Let's start from the very beginning. The Pasuk, of course, people usually start from Pirkei Avos, in fact it's a Pasuk in Chumash. Have a look at number one. Lo yisasu avo b'mishpat. You're not allowed to twist judgment. Lo yisisa fnei dal. Don't favor the poor, and don't give extra favors to the great rich people, whatever any court. But tzedek tishpot amisercho. You have to judge your amisercho. We'll leave aside how to translate amisercho for a minute. But tzedek, in fairness, tzedek is something which is a tzaddik, something which goes according to the din. Do it according to the din and not twist one way or the other. Rashi brings immediately two perushim on the pasuk in number two. But tzedek tishpot amisercho. First of all, kamashmal. In other words, it's talking to a judge. You're a judge. The Pasuk is giving you guidance as to how to be a Torah-dika judge. Judge people, then judge the poor better, then judge the rich better, etc. But then he says, Davar acher, alternatively, Havidan es chavercha lekaschus. You must be done your chaver lekaschus. Where's Rashi getting this from? Where is there an indication in the Pasuk that there's anything other than kamashmal? This is talking to a judge. Where do we see in this Pasuk, having done it, chavarach lechavschus? The Maharal says it's in the word amisecha. What is the word amisecha got to do with a court case, with a judge? The judge shouldn't have any amisecha in the courtroom. Everybody should be at a distance, at arm's length. So the Maharal says there's something in this topic which is going beyond the court scenario. And in fact, Rashi is getting his chav there directly from a Gemara in Shavuos. I brought you in number three, which is Tanu Rabbanan, but Tzedek Tishpot Amisecha, Shalo Yihei Echad Yoshev Echad. Oime, this is the first chat. Everyone should have their fair hearing in court. One person shouldn't stand and one sit. Echad Medabi Kol Tarcha, Echad Oime Loi Tzad Varecha. One gets to speak a whole case, and the other one you say to him, no, you can't say anything, sit down and be quiet. Davaracha says the Gemara, but Tzedek Tishpot Amisecha, Havi Danis, Chaverich Lachavschus, exactly like Rashi says, judge your friend favorably, the Kavschus. But Tanu Rabbi Yosef, but Tzedek Tishpot Amisecha, Am She'itcha b'toyre umitzvah. An interesting issue. What does amisecha mean? Here, Rav Yosef understands it, am itecha, am she'itcha. Someone who is with you in Torah and mitzvahs, that opens up the whole shaila as to what extent these mitzvahs of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro apply to people who are not with you in Torah mitzvahs? Which is an interesting question which I don't want to get into today. To what extent do we owe mitzvahs Bein Adam L'Chaveiro to people who are not religious? The answer in a nutshell is we do, but there's a whole arichas as to how to get there, which I haven't got time to talk for today. But for now, let's just see this Gemara in Shavuos as the source for Rashi. The question really, and I want to basically give you today the mahalik that I was recovered on this issue from my Rebbe Rav Berkowitz, or Yitzchak Berkowitz in Yerushalayim. He raises the following question. He says, how can it be that in the same pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us two completely opposite things? On the one hand, if you're a judge, but said it tishpat amisecha, you have to judge absolutely fairly down the line. On the other hand, if you're not a judge, is that what a judge does? If a judge is sitting there in front of a trial and is being done a is that what a judge is meant to do? It's the opposite of what a judge is meant. Surely a judge is meant to assess all of the evidence fairly and impartially and rationally and not start making up, you know, the guy's up for murder, well, he slipped with the knife, who knows what could have been. You know, that's not what a judge is meant to be thinking. A judge is meant to be right down the line. How can it be that the same hostage, you've got two different sukkim, I don't understand, but the same passage is telling, on the one hand, the judge to be fair, and you and I to judge unfairly, to judge favourably. How can that be? Let's put that question on hold. Let's move on to a different point. Is this a mitzvah d'oraisa, or is it not a mitzvah d'oraisa? Have a look at number four. Rabbeinu Yonah says, clearly it is. Yesh alecha l'hafas ha-sofik v'achrila kapskos. K'moshe amur rabbi said, zikron l'ibrocha. You have to be done l'kapskos, like the rabbi said. Hadanet chaver l'kapskos, amokim yedinei l'kapskos. If you judge favourably, the Hashem will judge Jewish people favorably. But who mitzvahs afe min ha-Torah? It's a positive Torah mitzvah. Shinei ma'ar b'tzedek tishkot amisecha. There is no shaila, there is no room for doubt. This is a pasuk. Why should it not be a Torah mitzvah? However, if you look in the Torah tomorrow afternoon when you read it, you'll see that there's a certain amount of confusion, apparently, as to whether it's a mitzvah d'oraisa or not. You'll see there's no confusion at all. It's, there are many different aspects of this mitzvah. Look at number five. Yeshu ben Barachya Omer. Have you done it kolad on the kapskos? Same thing apparently. Number six, Rambam says, Sarech b'derech ha-chassidus shitad in the kapskos. I like the whole thing to derech ha-chassidus. At the end of the day, Pirkei Avos is not Ikar HaDin. Pirkei Avos is how to be a mensch. Once you're already being a kind of din, how to be an extra level of a mensch, that's Pirkei Avos. It's a derech chassidus to be done in the kapskos. What are we going to do with that? On the one hand, Rabbeinu Yonah says it's a mitzvah min ha-Torah, every Jew is required to be done a chavtzchus. And the rabbi's telling us, nah, it's a mitzvah chassidus. If you want to be a tzaddik, then you should be done a chavtzchus. But other people are not required to. And in fact, he brings in number seven in his halachas of who is a talmid chacham in Hilchos Deos. Talmid chacham lo yehet soyek. A talmid chacham shouldn't scream. But tzavech v'shach tzibura and shout when he's talking. Kebehemus v'chayav should be like a behemah v'chayav. The loyeh be a koil of a yoyter. Ela diburat nachas and kopriyas. He should speak pleasantly and nicely and quietly to everybody. Umakdim Shalom l'kol ha'adam, the Talmid Chacham should be the first person to say Good Shabbos. Not walk past someone in the street and not say Good Shabbos. I was asking one of my students, why do people not come up to each other and say Good Shabbos? You know, if it's a sign of a Talmid Chacham, you should be the first to say Good Shabbos. And she says, you know, I once asked one of my rebbeim, and he said, if you say Good Shabbos and the other person doesn't answer, then you're being machshel them to doing an aveira. So better you shouldn't say Good Shabbos to them, so you're machshel them to do an aveira. I said, well, I can hear the sfora, but it sounds all wrong. You know, you should be the first one to say Good Shabbos, and if you grab him by the hand, say Good Shabbos, of course I'll say Good Shabbos back. Anyway, never mind, that's for another shmooze. So he said, the Talmid Chacham should be Magdim Shalom L'Kol Ha'adam. Kidei Shitei Rucha Noichem, and so you should be friendly with everyone, but Dan Es Kol Ha'adam L'Tavskos. Again, it's the middah of a Talmid Chacham. The middah of a Talmid Chacham is not an everyday guy, it's a Talmid Chacham. So how are we going to put these two things together? On the one hand, the Pasuk says, Betzedek Tishpat Amisecha, Rabbeinu Yonah says it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, and the Rambam says it's a mitzvah chassidus in the middle of a Talmid Chacham. Have a look at number 8. Number 8 really is the key to the whole sugya as to how to understand this. Havidan is kona adam l'chavskos. Says the Rambam like this. In Yomel, what is this talking about? She'in yehe adam she'ein yudua l'cha. If you see someone that you don't know, lo teda in tzadik hu im rosha. You don't know if they're a tzaddik or a rosha. You have to define what a tzaddik and what a rosha is here. But today, you see him doing something or saying something. If you were to explain it in a certain way, it's positive. And if you explain it another way, it's negative. What should you do? Parshen Kutah. You should explain it well. Why? Don't think bad of people. Says the Rambam, that's what the Pirkei Avos is talking about. Somebody who you don't know. So why? How does he know he's talking about someone that you don't know? There, says the Rambam, it's a Midas Chassidus. You don't have a mitzvah to judge someone you don't know favorably. How can you? You don't know them. You don't know if they're tzaddik. You don't know if they're rosh. You don't know anything about them. You just see them doing something that looks strange, and you don't know whether to explain it positively or negatively. Says the Rambam, Midas Chassidus, why not think good about people? Why not be a half-full kind of person rather than a half-empty kind of person? But after the mitzvah d'oraisa, you can't possibly do it. Where did the Rambam get that from? So if you think about it, it's poshut. Every time we saw a perush on the mitzvah in the Chumash, how did Rashi explain it? Havidan is chaver chalakaskus. How did the Gemara describe it? Havidan is chaver chalakaskus. What's the pasuk in Pirkei? What's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos? What is it saying? Havidan is kol adam lekaskus. Kol adam. It's a completely different thing. It's a completely different thing to the Rambam. Kol adam is someone that you don't know. Chavercha, oi, chavercha is someone that you know. That's the concept of a chaver, is someone you have a chibur with, someone you have a connection with. Therefore, when it comes to your chaver, there you can do the mitzvah. When it comes to kol adam, you have no hope. Let's go on to the second box in number 8. Avam im haya isha duahu tzaddik. If you know they're a tzaddik, mufursim b'masa hatzayim, and you know that they're well known for doing these good things, v'nirul amasa shekol tchnoisav yore aliyosa masi rav. You see them doing something that everything about it is negative. The only way to explain it positively is extremely forced. Ma'oi. Ve'esharas rechoike, and a very small chance. Saras v'farish oisai kitav. You have to explain it well. Why? Hail v'yesh tzadish sharas v'yoisai. Since there is a possibility of it being good. Ve'ein mutar chasha, you're not allowed to think bad of him. Ve'azeh yonu kol ha-choshit k'sherim lo'ki b'gufa. You're not allowed to be choshit, to suspect people who are k'sherim. In other words, the Rambam says, with a kol adam, remember who we are. So why not have a midas chasidus? Why not think positively? With a tzaddik, you have no choice. Even if it's 99.9% bad and 0.1% good, of course it's good. Why is it good? Because it's a tzaddik. Who is a tzaddik? So here is the chiddush. A verbet explains to me that a tzaddik is not a tzaddik. It's someone that's a tzaddik and sits and learns all day or whatever. A tzaddik is somebody that you wouldn't have any hava amina that he could be doing this avera. There's just no chance that he could be doing. He just doesn't do this. The balabas in Washington Heights just doesn't have a yetzahara to eat trefa hot dogs on the subway. It just doesn't exist. It's not there. Therefore, if you see a tzaddik, he has a cheska sita. He has a chazaka. He has an assumption and a presumption that he wouldn't ever do this wrong. Therefore, if you see them doing it wrong, of course he's not doing anything wrong. How can it be? The guy's a chazaka. There must be a way to explain it positively. There must be. That's the mitzvah of Betzedik Tishvut Amitecha. And the same goes the other way. Look at the third box in the bay. The Chayim Haya Rosha. What if he's a Rosha? But if you say a Masav and he's known for being a Rosha, the Akar Kacharinu Oyster Masav Shiriyah, that's a cool Amoy Rishutai. And you see him doing something that's almost 100% good. But Tzadeh Sharas Rechoykem O'Oylera, there's a very small chance of it being bad. Sarek Lishomimena says, Rambam, you're not to believe anything good of the guy. If 99.9% looks good, no, it's bad. Why? He's a Rosha. A Rosha doesn't change into a tzaddik overnight. If you see him doing something, of course it's something negative. Because the guy has a chazaka of being a Rosha. But Loila Amin Boitov, you mustn't believe anything good about him. Hoil the Yeshbo of Sharif Lot. Since there is a possibility that it's bad, of course it's bad. The guy is a Rosha. So you have three categories so far. You have a Kol Adam, you don't know. So there you have no way of doing the mitzvah. You have to just be dalek haschus as a midas chassidus, because why not be positive about people? You have a tzaddik who would never do this avera, and doesn't matter what it looks like, of course he isn't doing it. There must be some explanation. In the end, by the way, the guy who was eating the trefa hot dog in the subway, Rav Schwab got a hesek to go and see him in the hospital a couple of days later. And he saw him in the hospital and he said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "Oh, Rabbi, it's terrible. I've got this bleeding ulcer." And the doctor said, "If I have an attack, if I don't put food into my system within a very short time, then it's mamash, it's sekonis nefashis." And he said, "Rabbi, you'll never believe the kind of places I'll have to eat." Well, maybe. I can imagine. Maybe. But of course, he was a tzaddik. From people in Washington Heights don't have a yetzer hara to eat trefa on the subway. It was a tzaddik. Similarly, a rosha A Rosh is someone who doesn't take this mitzvah seriously. They just don't do this. If someone invites you to eat in their house and they don't keep kosher, and then you see them running around the next day buying, looks like they're buying kosher food, chicken, hashering, mahadrim, and a mahadrim, and a mahadrim, they don't keep kosher. Just because they are checking doesn't mean that they're going to give you kosher food. They don't keep kosher. Again, a Rosh and a Tzaddik here is not a value judgment. It doesn't mean they go, one's going to Olam Haba and one's going to Gehenim. It doesn't mean that. Who knows who's going where in terms of a person's personal nisyonos? But in terms of this mitzvah, do they do this mitzvah and don't? Now, the most interesting category is number 9, the Beinoni. But let's face it, that's where most of us are holding. In many cases. The Im Hu Min HaBeinoni, says Rabbeinu Yonah. If he's a Beinoni, Asher Yizaru Min HaChet, he tries not to do Aveira. Upanim Yichshulu Boy. But sometimes, you know, everyone has a Yetzer Hara, everyone does Aveira. The Yesh Alech Alahatas are Sophic Lachri Lekasra. Because if you can be Machriye, if you can judge it favorably, Kemosha Amr Batein Zichron Libracha Hadan Et Chavel Lekasrus. Because it says, we'll see this tomorrow in a minute in Shabbos, if you judge other people favorably, Hashem will judge you favorably. Who mitzvah sa'atim min ha-Torah, that's a mitzvah sa'atim min ha-Torah, she'ne'emar, betzedek, tishvot am Yisrael. However, and here's the crutch. V'im ha-dava noitel ha-kap choyvam. But if it really doesn't look good, yi ha-dava etzach tem ha-sofek. Really, you should leave it as a sofek. V'al tachrei le-kap choyvam. Better not to judge it negatively, but you can't judge him positively. Why? Because he's a Beinoni. He has no chazokah that he's a tzaddik or a rasha. He's a Beinoni. Sometimes he does it right, sometimes he does it wrong. He's in a situation in which he's caught in a very compromising situation. You have no mitzvah, says Rabbeinu Yonah. This is how the Chofetz Chaim understands it in the Chofetz Chaim. You have no mitzvah to be dan l'katzchus on somebody who is a Beinoni and is in a situation which looks negative. Why? There's no mitzvah to be naive. There's no mitzvah to be a mug. We'll see in a minute. The Gemara Mufresh said that. There's no mitzvah to think, make fairy stories about people. Well, he must be this, he must be that. If he's a tzaddik and he'd never do this Aveira, then of course he's not doing the Aveira. You're not making anything up. Of course he's not doing the Aveira. If he's a Rosha, of course he is doing the Aveira. If he's a Beinoni, well, it really depends. It really depends as a Beinoni. If it looks good, then it's probably good. And if it looks bad, then it's probably bad. Just to be a rational person. You should try out Midas Chassidus to be Dona Chassus, even though it looks bad, but that's a Midas Chassidus. You can't rely on that. And Minatora, you're not required to think that way. Where does the Rabbeinu Yonah get this from? Have a look at number 11 for a second. Very interesting Gemara Sanhedrin about Shmita. Almost in Yom HaDiyom, in Eretz Yisrael now, everybody's gearing up, getting ready for Shmita, all the Shurim are getting, you know, pulled out of the out of the bags from the last 7 years, and everyone's getting ready with their Pach Shmita and everything like that. So we're gearing up for Shmita. This is the whole Gemara about this. Look at number 11. Rabbi Chiya bar Zrunki, Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadok, Havikaz le'Abba Shana da'Asa. They went to do an Ibu Shana. These two Choshev Amoran. Pazabahu Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish bumped into them, and he said, Itzul ba'adayu, I go along with them. And Amma, he said, Eizul ba'achti heiche avid uvda. I'll go see how they do it. So they were going over to make this whole calculation as to the Ibur Shana, to make the Lithia, and he tagged along with them. Now, Chazilahu gavra dikkar. He saw this guy, who's a Shmiti. He saw this guy who was plowing his field. Amar lahem, he said to these two Amorayim, Kohen v'choyresh. He's a Kohen, and he's plowing his field on Shmiti here. Why is the Kohen? Because the Kohen was chashud and the Kohen was suspected of breaking Shmita. All sorts of reasons, you have to look in the Gemara there. Reish Lakish saw this guy playing the field and said, oh, he's breaking Shmita. Amrulai, they said to him, Yacholayma, why can't you say, yeah, Gistan Ani B'Toychoi? Well, he could turn around to you and say, look, I'm not breaking Shmita. I'm working in a field owned by a non-Jew, and he said, da da da. So, no, he didn't want to say that. Who gathered to have a kasach b'karim. Then they saw another guy who was pruning his kerem, pruning his orchard, his vineyard. Amr Lahem, he said to them, Kain v'zomet. He's a kain who, and he's breaking Shmita. He's pruning his vineyard. Amaloy, they said to him, he could turn around and say to you, look, how do you know I'm breaking Shmita? Maybe I'm just pruning things to use them for the Beit Habad, the Hil Halachi and Shmita, as if you're pruning trees to use them for other purposes rather than to improve the trees, then they're a Hatayrim, maybe you could say that. So he says, no. Amalahem, he said to them, Halev Yodea im La'akel, only his mind knows whether he's doing it for Mutta reasons, im La'ak Lakut, if he's doing it because he's a Rosha. So anyway, they having judged these people negatively as he went through, Amru, they said to themselves, Turudahu, this guy is disturbing. So Kimatu Lahasan, when they got to the place, they went up to the roof, yeah? The Shalfu the Dagam, they took the ladder away from him so he couldn't come up, because they said he's gonna chatter, every going along the road, he keeps saying, this one's doing this wrong, they didn't like it. After the coming to Rabbi Yochanan, so he came to Rabbi Yochanan and said, Amalai, I said to him, B'nei Adama Choshudim ala Shvi'is, K'sherim la'aba Shana. These two Amoraim who were suspected of breaking Shvi'is, what does that mean, suspected of breaking Shvi'is? That they weren't prepared to look honestly at people who were breaking Shmita, and they judged them all favorably. Are you going to let these people be Ma'aba Shana? Because they're not doing it right. So half the time off, what's going on here? Rish Lakish and Amoira is seeing people doing things and all the time he's saying, he's doing this wrong and he's doing this wrong. What happens to the list of Dalek Hasul? So this is poshut. These people are not tzaddikim. These people are not Rishon. These people are Deinonim. And if they're doing something which looks very negative, they're in the middle of Shmita, they're pruning all their vines and they're ploughing all their fields. If you see a Deinonim doing something negative, you have no mitzvah to be Dalek Hasul. There is no such mitzvah. And Rav Berkovitz said to me, and this is really, I think, the chiddush in the thing, that the truth is that everybody is a combination of all of them.
And he says having done this kol adam, doesn't mean everyone.
Well, there's two mitzvahs, there's kol adam and it's chavercha. But we said already, kol adam means someone that you have no particular knowledge of. Kol adam means someone you just see in the street doing something, you don't know what he's doing. The mitzvah, then you have no mitzvah to judge favorably. You have a mitzvah chassidus to judge, because why not be a positive person? Who knows? People are good, usually. But when you're judging someone and doing the mitzvah, if you know that they're a benayni, then you're not required to make up silly stories. And Reish Lakish didn't make up silly stories, and that was absolutely permissible. The chiddush is, of course, that every single one of us is a combination of all three things. There are some mitzvahs in which people are tzaddikim. There are some mitzvahs in which people are benayim, and there are some mitzvahs in which people are rishayim. Your average shum balabos does not eat treif. He doesn't. He just, there's no yetzahara to eat treif. And therefore, if you see somebody looking as though he's in a compromising situation, he's eating treif, the answer is he's a tzaddik. There's no chance. Of course he's not eating treif. On the other hand, the same person, for other aveiros, I'm not going to go into where everyone's yetzaharas are holding, everyone's got a different place, but everybody has a yetzahara. Come on. If you see the same guy doing something in which he is having a nisoyim, then he's not tzaddik. The same person. And maybe somewhere else he's taka rosha. Hopefully not. But a person has to take a sophisticated approach. This is what the Rambam is saying here, Rabbeinu Yonah. Every time you see someone, you can't just make up a silly story. That's not right. And we see Reish Lakish was very unhappy with the other Amoraim for making up a story. You have to apply a structured approach. Tzaddik, rosha, beinoni, kol adam. And this answers the first question that we have. How could it be that the Pasuk is on the one hand telling a judge to do something, and on the other hand is telling you to do something completely the opposite? The judge, he's telling to be fair, to be straight, to be absolutely impartial. But you, on the other hand, and I, he's telling you, the Pasuk is telling us to make up silly stories. The answer is, there's no problem with that. Because actually, we're being told to do exactly the same thing as the judge. We're being told to judge on all the evidence, and assess all the pros and the cons and tzaddik and rosh and benoni and everything, and come to a rational situation. Every single one of us is a judge in this. Therefore, there is no steer, there is no contradiction. Exactly the same thing is required of you and I as is required of the judge. So go back to the case. You see the girl coming out of the slightly dodgy looking institution, looking as though she's buying drugs, and you think to yourself, what's going on here? So Taka, what is going on here? So you have to ask yourself, is this girl a rosha? Has the shalom shalom drug addict? You see a drug addict coming out of a place where they sell drugs, and what do you think he's doing there? Going to water the plants? No, of course, that's what drug addicts do. They're Rishon, they take drugs, and that's what they do there. On the other hand, who is this girl? Is she a tzaddik? Okay, so then you have to decide whether there is something like this where you could say there is no havam and there's no possible way that she's doing it. Then you'll have to decide, is she a tzaddik? In which case, you better make sure that you don't cancel your babysitting arrangement. Otherwise, you're a bit of a hypocrite, yeah? Because you've been Donna Chavsus in there, but when it comes to tachlis, you said, don't bother coming round. And on the other hand, if you say she's a Beinoni, then shalom. You have to take care. You have to make sure that you don't do anything silly, because at the end of the day, she's a Beinoni, she's in a very compromising situation. Berkovitz said to me once, why does the Torah want us to be judgmental at all? Why not just think, walk around thinking, good things about everybody? So he said, you could give two answers. Number one, you could say, look, people are going to be judgmental anyway, so at least the Torah tells you how to do it in a way which is kosher. So that's a bit of a negative way of approaching it. He says he thinks that the answer is, on the contrary, The Torah needs you to be awake and alive to everything that's going on around you. You have to be a pitech in life. You can't walk around being some kind of a naive person. Because otherwise you'll never be able to protect yourself, you'll never be able to make rational decisions, you'll never be able to look after your family. And at the end of the day, even if people have, you know, say all these ideas and tzitzkas, that's what they do anyway, because people are going to look after themselves. The Torah is telling you, yes, we want you to look after yourself in a rational, responsible way, and have a getter in which to make these decisions. Let's just finish off with number 12. Number 12 is a very beautiful Gemara, which really sums this up. Quite a famous Gemara, Rabbi Akiva. Tan Rabbanan, Hadan Chaver L'Kaskut, Darin Oysa L'Tzvot. Umati Ba'odan Echad Shiyarid Megalila Elyon, V'nitka Etzel Balabayis Echad, V'Droim Shalosh Shanim. There was a man who came down from the Galil Ha'elyon, from the Upper Galilee, and he hired himself out to a Balabos in the south of the country for 3 years. And Rav Amram Gon in the She'ilta says that the worker was Rabbi Akiva, and the Balabos was Rabbi Lev Zagodl. Okay? So the Balabos was the Godl Hador, and the worker was Rabbi Akiva. Erev Yom Kippurim Amor Lo. And Erev Yom Kippur said to him, Tell Yitzchari, give me my wages. Ba'elik ba'adhanes ishtubening. And I will go and feed my family. Amor Lo, he said to him, Eini mos, sorry, no money. Amor Lo, he said to him, Eini peiros, give me fruit. Amor Lo, no, Eini. Tenli karka, give me land, Eini. Tenli behemah, give me animals, Eini. I have nothing. Tenli karin, the custards, give me anything. I'll schlep the pillows and the linen, I'll take anything. I've been working for you for 3 years. The answer was, no, Eini. Hishul kerev la'achoru v'halach le'beisu v'papina. He went back home dejected. Rabbi Akiva walked in after 3 years to his family and said, you know, after 3 years being away, working, you know what I've got to show for it? Nothing. I've come home. La'acha ha'regel, after Sukkot. And the Gemara is makpik to say when these things were. After Sukkot, Nachal Balabayis Schar B'Yadai, the Imru Masu Gimul Chamoyim. He took the Schar, the Galabayis came, Rabbi Lezer Agolim came up from the south with all of the money and three donkeys, Echad Shel Machal, Echad Shel Mishta, Echad Shel Minei Megadim, and one donkey full of food, and one full of drink, and one full of goodies, whatever. The Halach Lo Yedeisa, and he went to his house. And I'm sure people are familiar with the end of the Gemara. Basically, he said to Rabbi Akiva, when I said to you, I've got no money, what did you think? And Rabbi Akiva said, well, I thought maybe you'd done it, you'd tied it up in a big deal. And when he said, I've got no fruit, what did you think? He said, well, maybe you haven't taken trouble from us. Don't forget, Rabbi Akiva was one of the richest men in the country. So what was Rabbi Akiva to think? When he said, I've got no animals, maybe they were rented out, maybe the land was rented out. He says, when I said to you, I've got nothing, everything around me that looks as though it's mine does not belong to me, what did you think? So what did Rabbi Akiva think? Well, maybe you'd been mafdish it, maybe you'd made it hekdash for the Beit HaMikdash, and for some reason it wasn't yours. And he says, Ha'avoida, it's true, that's exactly what happened. My son was going off to Derech, he says, and he wouldn't go to yeshiva, so I disinherited him. I said, if you don't go to yeshiva, you get no money. I gave it all to the Beit HaMikdash, and then I thought better of it. I don't know, maybe he went to yeshiva, Taka, and he went down south, he did have Torah Nadarim, and he got all the stuff back, and then he brought it up to Rabbi Akiva. And he ends up saying, the Asa Kashem Shedadanti, the Dante Zaschus, Hamokim Yadin Oyskalaschus, Hashem should judge you favorably. Now, what's going on in this Gemara? Let's finish with it. Two very interesting things. Number one, when Rabbi Akiva is guessing what's happening, he doesn't start with the least likely scenario. The least likely scenario is that he's given all his money to the Beit HaMikdash. I mean, would you go collecting, some guy from Yerushalayim comes collecting $200 grivin, and he says, you know, will you write me a check for my Moshe? And he says, you know something? You know, I don't own any of this. I mean, that's not very likely, you know, to try to get rid of the guy. So he didn't come to that conclusion initially. He first of all went through all the most rational, reasonable suggestions. He's tied his money up in a deal, he's rented out his land. At the very end, he's faced with a choice. It's Erev Yom Kippur. The God of Hador has decided to send me home without 3 years of wages, which, I mean, how lower of a low life can you get than that? Or he's given all his money to the Beit HaMikdash. Which of those, and he's not making up a story, which of those is more likely? That the God of Hador has turned into an awful, I mean, on Erev Yom Kippur, everyone's trying pretty hard, no? The Gemara says the fairies don't come to Yom Kippur. It's poshut to Rabbi Akiva that there's a panic. He has a cheskas tzitzkas. It's obvious that the only appropriate answer is that he must have given his money to the Beit HaMikdash. It's not a silly story. It's the only reasonable conclusion you can come to, because for sure, Rabbi Lezer HaGadol has not gone off the derech. So, hopefully what we see here is a very sophisticated system which the Torah is requiring of us. Unfortunately, when people learn this at school, very often they just learn you have to think nice things about everybody, and either they do that and they walk around evil, more likely they think that's a bit silly and I'm not doing that anyway. What is actually the case is the Torah puts forward for you a very sophisticated system of thought, and perhaps one of the classic applications of this is what we see a few weeks in the parasha in Balak, where Bilam is banging the donkey and he's saying to him, you know, why aren't you going? What does the donkey turn around to him and say? He says to him, what's going on here? Am I not the donkey that's taken you loyally for the last however many years? Have I ever done this before? And Bilam has no answer, because at the end of the day, the donkey is giving him mussar. He says, what about Balak after all? So at the end of the day, the truth is that the most people around us, I would say that there are loyal donkeys, because they're better than our loyal donkeys. But our friends and our relatives and Klal Yisrael, the people that we see around us who have a cheskas tzidkas and who are doing mitzvahs, Baruch Hashem, if people don't need to judge them fairly. People just need favorably. People just need to judge them fairly. And very often, if you judge people fairly and honestly, it will turn out that you're judging people favorably. Because the two are part of the same thing. If Hashem, we should go forward and do this even better than we do now.